Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600. And thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks.
And now, a few minutes with U.S. Senator Richard Blumenthal on WICC 600.
So, Senator Blumenthal, I was reading this morning that you are calling to crack down on scams involving pets that has gone up significantly in the pandemic. What are you finding?
We're finding a surge in complaints about pet scams. People see an offer on the internet, whether it's from a breeder or some other party, and they send money, but nothing comes in return, which is very frustrating and tragic for people who spend literally often thousands of dollars for a pet. We're also seeing a surge in the puppy mills, you know, that send their dogs across state lines, many of them in bad condition. But mostly I want the FCC to crack down on the pet scams, which involve not only puppies, but also cats and other animals.
So what exactly are you hoping that they do? Like track these online sales more? Or like what exactly can they do to better the situation? Because you're right. I think a lot of people not only have lost loved ones during the pandemic, but they've looked for comfort from their pets. I know even my own parents tried to adopt a couple of kittens and they lost almost $1,000 during the pandemic trying to do that because they were scammed. So what exactly are you looking to see done?
Number one, people are seeking comfort and companionship. They feel more isolated and alone. They need the comfort of a pet, but they should be warned that they should check out the credentials, the past history, contact another person who has used the service or the breeder before you commit money. And second, I want to see the Federal Trade Commission, which is the federal agency responsible for stopping consumer scams, crack down on these fraudsters and scammers, because they're taking good money from people who are simply seeking companionship and comfort.
Talking to Senator Richard Blumenthal this morning, I wanted to switch gears, Senator Blumenthal, because I know during the pandemic and even before that, you've been one of the, I'd say, stronger voices holding the feet to the fire for social media, you know, Facebook, Twitter, and, you know, looking at how they are consuming smaller platforms to get stronger and stronger. But, you know, another thing you've been very focused on is content. What content is being provided on these platforms, and specifically during the pandemic, especially on Twitter and Facebook, fake news, I hate to use that term, but it's true, fake news is literally being spread, which is a big reason why we're seeing this age group between 20 to 50 not getting their vaccine, because they're going to go off of social media versus real news sites. So I'm curious, you know, it's interesting that yesterday, basically the Facebook Oversight Board is upholding this block for former President Donald Trump over his post that dates back to what happened at the Capitol in January. They now have to take another 6 months to decide if he should permanently be banned. And I think they quickly used action, and whether people agree with it or not, it was pretty clear that President Trump, I don't think, caused the riot, but he certainly, I think, played a role in not stopping it. So I understood Facebook's actions, and they have that right to do so. However, I'm curious why it doesn't seem like that same action is being used to stop these fake headlines from going out when we're in the middle of a pandemic trying to get people vaccinated.
You've raised a very, very good point, Melissa, and hopefully the decision on Donald Trump barring him from Facebook for at least sometime going forward, because he summoned the mob, he incited them, he encouraged them to storm the Capitol, warrants his continuing to be barred. And he continues to spread what is called the big lie that he won the election, that there was purposeful fraud by others that denied him a victory. And most of his Republican Party, I can tell you from talking to colleagues in the Senate, thinks it is absolutely absurd misinformation. But you're right that there are other sources of misinformation relating to the pandemic and other important causes. And Facebook has a responsibility. And I hope that this decision on Donald Trump sets a minimal marker, standards of decency and truth that will be followed by Facebook or this oversight board. And Facebook itself has a responsibility, which it has shirked and avoided repeatedly.
Yeah, I mean, I would go as far, Senator Blumenthal, as to say I think Facebook and Twitter has failed. I really do. I look at my generation of not even knowing, you know, even up to weeks ago, people asking me in my age group, what's herd immunity? I don't even know what that is. And I think to myself, do you listen to local news? Like, have you listened to local news? And I find that our younger generation, state to state, who does not want to get vaccinated, they are going to social media. And I think it's just appalling. The fact that I would go as far as to say social media platforms, major corporations like Amazon proved that. I felt as soon as President Trump got out of office and President Biden came in, all of a sudden Amazon had no problem offering their services for the vaccine rollout. I do think that these major corporations are becoming too political, and I don't know if using former President Trump's account is really enough to set a standard. I feel like they're really choosing sides. It's really making people doubt them, I think.
You know, they've not only shirked their responsibility and tolerated misinformation, and you'll recall propaganda from the Russians that interfered in our election, but they've also made billions and billions of dollars doing it. They are now so powerful. They have the real raw power of many governments around the world, and their revenues are the size of many budgets around the world. So their responsibility has to be exercised, and so far they failed to do it. You're absolutely right. And one more point, they've now grown so big that the antitrust laws should be applied to them. That's part of what I'm doing in Washington, to make sure they're not abusing that power with their monopolistic authority, and consider breaking them up.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad to hear that, just because if I'm being honest with you, Senator Blumenthal, not to say that the past doesn't matter, but I think the here and now does matter more. I think the fact that we're having these major meetings and conversations over an account based on something that happened in January, or based on something that happened over 4 years ago during an election, when we're in the middle of a crisis in a pandemic and we can't get shots into people's arms, I think that's more important to talk about. But it doesn't seem like it's happening at the same forefront as, like, former President Trump, which, honestly, I could care really less about his account. I'd care more about if my friends would go out and get a vaccine. That's what I care more about.
People should disregard the information on Facebook or Twitter or wherever. Listen to the scientists, get the shot, and get the second shot. You know, yesterday I was up at the Yard Goats Stadium, Dunkin' Donuts Park in Hartford. They're offering 4 tickets to people who get the vaccine during a ball game at the stadium. We're trying all of these incentives and inducements to get people to come forward and get the vaccine.
Senator Blumenthal, always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for checking in this morning. We'll talk again next week.
Wonderful. Thank you, Melissa.
According to recent VA reports, more than 6,400 veterans have taken their own lives, and that was back in 2018, which is nearly 18 people per day. And the reason we look at veterans, I've talked about this a lot on my show, we don't do enough. We just don't. We don't do enough. Veterans go, they put on, they make the ultimate sacrifice, right? And then they come home. We don't set them up with jobs. We don't have housing for them. They fall into addiction. They deal with PTSD. And what is our answer? Well, it could be, hey, go into a clinic, or hey, get on these medications, or all these different things. And one person decided to actually dive into this. And what perfect timing, because May marks National Mental Health Month and Military Appreciation Month. This morning joining me is director and producer Michael Geyer, who created Wounded Heroes documentary. And Michael, welcome to the show. How are you?
Doing great. Thank you for having me.
So first of all, Michael, what prompted you to want to create something like this?
I was doing interviews with veterans, and I met a guy in San Diego named Carl. He had post-traumatic stress. He had tried to take his life by suicide. And at the time, he was on 16 different medications, down from 18. And that was shocking to me. how somebody in their 20s could be on that many medications. And the worst part was he said they didn't really help. It was more of a Band-Aid. Mm. And so that set me off on a journey that I thought there has to be something better than medications that are just a Band-Aid. There has to be real solutions. And so we found a lot of different treatments and programs that are now featured in this documentary that allow people to not only get off the drugs, but to get their lives back and post-traumatic stress behind them.
Michael, do you mind just outlining, you know, nothing crazy, but maybe just giving us a couple of examples? Like, what were some of the different options you found are available to veterans?
One is called RTM, Reconsolidation of Traumatic Memories. Another one is ART, Accelerated Resolution Therapy. Those two are both neurological interventions. They have the same result, but they go about it differently. We feature horse therapy, which is pretty amazing. It's a great segment in the film. Different programs throughout the country that are week-long that bring people together who are like-minded, who can fight the battle together. Stellate ganglion block. So there's a lot of different treatments that are just featured.
And again, we have Michael Geyer here. He's the director and producer of the documentary called Wounded Heroes Documentary. Now, Michael, do you have a connection to the military? Like, what prompted you to even want to start interviewing veterans?
No. Well, my father's a Marine, a veteran, but no, I mean, I've never been in the military. I've been an entertainer most of my life and now a director producer. And, you know, it was just really meeting Carl and realizing there's a real need here. There's people dying, as you mentioned. Too many people taking their lives each day by suicide. And that includes our first responders as well. It's very sad, and there are solutions. And, you know, I spent the last 3 years, my wife and I funded the project. We just thought it was important to get the information out there and save some lives.
So Wounded Heroes Documentary, is there a way that people can go to access that? Like, where can they go to find this?
It's online. Well, first, the website is woundedheroesdocumentary.com, and that has links to Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Vudu, a lot of different platforms right there on the website, along with the trailer, film excerpts, all kinds of things.
I mean, this is just incredible. We're talking to the director and producer of what's called Wounded Heroes Documentary, and it was made by Michael Geyer, who's here right now. I think it's incredible, Michael, because, you know, we talk about it a lot in the news. I've worked in the news for 10 years, so this is no new news for me. I mean, we're not even taking the pandemic into consideration, but, you know, hearing mm-hmm. that thousands of people take their lives because of PTSD, we sort of say that so nonchalantly, like, oh, it's so sad. And then we just sort of go on about our days. And yet we find more and more veterans coming home and just feeling like they can't get out of what they saw and went through because they're not even coming back home feeling welcomed or like they're cared for. Do you think that's a factor as well that keeps the PTSD going?
It is for some people. It is for a lot of the Vietnam veterans, some of them featured in the film. And what's great is that the film is all about hope, and it's filled with person after person who at one time were hopeless. Mm. They thought they had to live a miserable life for the rest of their life, but they found something that completely changed their life and gave them their life back. They sleep through the night. They've got loved ones, spouses they can actually have a great marriage with. Yeah. I had a woman recently say, my children, they have their father back. I have my husband back. Mm. I mean, these are just powerful statements that people need to realize you can get past post-traumatic stress. There are solutions. And that's why I thank you for letting people know the film's available, because they'll see it. They'll realize there are solutions. And we're getting dozens of emails and comments from all over from people who are saying, thank you, this was so impactful in my life.
And you know what else, Michael, that I think would be incredible if you're not someone who serves in the military, I would think, and please let me know if I'm off topic here, I would think this film would also be very helpful for first responders, firefighters, police officers. I mean, they see, even healthcare workers, mm-hmm. they see a lot of trauma that they carry with them for days, months, weeks. I mean, they'll carry it for years and years to the point that it could, like you said, ruin a marriage or impact their children or just impact their sleep. Like, you know, have you also kind of advertised it to first responders?
Yes, absolutely. So that is somebody that the film is perfect for. They have a very high suicide rate as well, mm-hmm. which is very sad to hear. And then even our doctors and nurses now, because of COVID, recently I saw an interview with a nurse talking about, you know, of course they know that with their profession, they're going to lose people who are going to pass on. But she said because of COVID, 90% of her patients were dying. And she was the only one there because nobody was allowed in. So she said, they're dying alone, and I was the only person who could be there to hold their hand as they passed. And experiencing that every day, all day, she said it was incredibly traumatic, and she's now battling post-traumatic stress. I don't know if she knows about my film, but she needs to hear about it because there are treatments that will help her and all of our first responders, doctors, nurses, and veterans. And, you know, it's just getting the word out. And we just launched something called Sponsor a Hero, which is an opportunity for people to purchase screenings that we can then give away to our heroes at no cost. And that's the way that all of us can give back and say thank you for their service, because there is real need out there.
Yeah. And if you don't believe the words that Michael Geyer, director and producer of Wounded Heroes documentary, is saying, here's some of the comments from people who have learned from the documentary. A U.S. Army member saying, I feel alive again. I feel rejuvenated. I feel like a soldier again. Someone else saying, I'm happier today than I ever have been in my entire life, from a U.S. Air Force member. Someone else who said, I didn't even know this kind of happiness was possible, who is part of the U.S. Army. So again, Michael, where can people access this documentary?
It's on Amazon, iTunes, Google Play, Vudu, Vimeo On Demand, YouTube Movies, and links are all at woundedheroesdocumentary.com.
Michael Geyer, director and producer of Wounded Heroes documentary. First of all, thank you for the work that you did and for telling these stories, but also thank you for sharing them on the show this morning. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
And right now we are checking in with Luke Fry of the Better Business Bureau talking about airline scams. What? Come on, Luke. I mean, really? Does it end anywhere? Like, is anything safe? That's the better question. Is anything safe these days, Luke?
Yes, there are safe places to go to book your travel and to buy items, I promise you. But there are scams pretty much with everything you're trying to do. And traveling after the pandemic is definitely one of them. So please, you know, keep an eye out for airfare scams. So just a general rule of thumb, if you are traveling anywhere, I would say if you have to book airfare, I would try to book that at least 3 months out. I wouldn't book any sooner than that. So we are kind of seeing a surge in airfare prices right now. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going away in October, and prices are astronomical right now.
Really?
For October. So I'm holding off until probably June to see what those prices possibly go down to, but prices could stay up too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, airlines have really been hurting over the past year and change and have lost money. So
yeah.
I don't know if prices are really going to go down that much, because they do have to kind of recover from the past year.
Sure.
So just keep an eye out for that. And this fact of airline prices, you know, possibly being higher than a couple years ago could drive people to try to find that best deal on airfare and try to find it cheaper elsewhere. And that's where we are seeing scams come up.
I mean, to be honest, Luke, I think people are just itching to get out. More than anything, I think people just want to go. I mean, I'll even say, short story, that this weekend for Mother's Day weekend, my husband asked what I want to do, and my son turned around and said, let's go to Disney. And I said, sure, like, let's do it. I mean, obviously, we're not going. But, you know, I was very close. If my brother was not working this weekend, I was very close to just booking a trip just to go down for 48 hours, which is ridiculous. But you want to get out. I think people want to go. So I think, and that's why we're seeing so many people traveling. So first of all, can you explain like how the scam even works? Like what does this look like?
Sure. So basically, you know, the victims of an airfare scam are trying to book their airfare on third party sites. So they aren't actually going to the airline's website.
So like Travelocity, you mean? Like one of those sites? Or no?
Yeah, third-party sites like that sell you airfare but isn't actually an airline. So, you know, people are going to Google and just searching best travel deals, cheap travel, cheap flights, and that's taking them to these fraudulent travel sites.
Okay, so these are third-party sites, but they're not real. Like, so when I say Travelocity, you're not saying like reputable companies or like, you know, any of those. You're talking about fake sites or fake airlines that like don't even exist.
Correct. Yeah. So
It's a site you haven't heard of in the past. It could pop up. It could look legitimate, like a Travelocity, like an Expedia. However, it's not. And they have the best deal, though. And a lot of people shop online for the best price and don't necessarily think that they are going to get scammed. And that's how the majority of online purchase scams happen, is you place an order just because it's a great deal, yet you don't do research to make sure that that company is actually legit.
I mean, are there any, you know, I always look for the red flags, like, is there anything in the website that would stand out that if you looked closely at it before you go forward that goes, that doesn't actually look right? Like, anything that we should be looking for?
You have to be careful. Typos are a telltale sign, grammatical errors, because usually there's sites that are thrown up pretty quickly by scammers who probably aren't even in America. So if the verbiage sounds off, if it sounds, you know, weird, and there's spelling errors and grammatical errors, and that's a telltale sign. However, other times it can be extremely hard. So, you know, using bbb.org to just go back and search that company or that site to make sure it's an actual legitimate company is extremely important, or doing a quick, Google search saying, hey, has anybody ordered airfare off of, you know, cheaptravel2021.com, and see if anybody has posted about it. If you don't see anything at all on BBB or on any other site about that company or the site you're about to book on, that's also a bad sign.
Talking to Luke Fry of the Better Business Bureau this morning about airline and airfare scams, because there are these like fake third-party websites that are claiming you get ridiculous flights you get flights for ridiculous prices. And, and sometimes these third-party sites actually make up airlines, like they have made up these different airlines you could use. What would you say, Luke, about using like a credit card to pay? Would you still say doing it online with a credit card is still your best bet, though, because at least you could dispute it, I would think, right?
Yes, definitely. So if you are going to book, I would say any type of travel, even if it's on an actual airline, always use a credit card if it's an online purchase, because mm-hmm. it's going to give you that added protection of if anything ends up going wrong, if it ends up being a scam, you can contact your credit card company and tell them that and hopefully get that credit back onto your account.
Okay. And I guess the other thing, Luke, is, you know, when you say to do your research and you get like, let's just say like a website or an airline that to you kind of sounds like, oh, I've never heard of this before. Does the Better Business Bureau have any kind of access to where we could like ask you guys directly, hey, is this real? Is it not? Is it fake? Is there a way we could check it with the Better Business Bureau?
Yeah, definitely. So if you go to bbb.org, you can put in any website, any company name, and type it in our search bar at the top of bbb.org, and you can see if it comes up as a company, how long they've been in business, you know, how long that website has been operating and taking orders, and see if anybody has complaints, reviews, all that kind of stuff. I just ordered a faucet online, and I ordered it off of a site I hadn't heard of, went to bbb.org, and it ended up being an accredited business. It was actually an accredited company. I just hadn't heard of it in the past. So then I knew I could trust that website and place my order and not be scared if that's actually going to show up at my doorstep or not.
It's funny you say that, Luke. I was going to text you, you know, on my own time. I was going to text you because my sister, who just moved home from Utah, she shipped her car home. And when she was working with a company, they were giving her all these crazy rules. And they were like, you know, you can't have anything that's blocking the windows. You can't put anything in the front seat. And my sister's like, how would you like me to pack my whole room up and bring it home? Because when she went out to Utah, they had none of these rules. And it was like half the price. And my sister's like, I think I'm being scammed. And I go to bbb.org and check it right now. But it was a legitimate company, though. But I guess they were like, listen, do you know how many people are not getting on flights? Like, they're doing a lot across country trips, so we've jacked up our prices basically. But yeah, she used bbb.org the other week to make sure that she wasn't getting scammed by like just a rental car company or I guess a shipping company. But yeah, it definitely works for sure to check that.
And yeah, and it gives you peace of mind too. If you're in a situation where, you know, like her saying, oh, I don't know, like I'm kind of getting skeeved out by this company, you know, are they real? I'm just kind of unsure. You know, going to BBB.org gives you that peace of mind and it helps prevent you from hopefully being scammed.
Totally. Well, Luke Fry of the Better Business Bureau, we know you also help us prevent getting scammed on different things, especially with today talking about airfare scams. Thank you so much. And we'll talk in a couple of weeks.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Melissa.
All right. Officer Lynette Castillo Jimenez here this morning. Officer Castillo, thank you for being here. How are you?
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
So how long have you been with the department?
I've been in the virtual police department for 5 years now.
So what do you would you say is sort of your favorite part of being part of law enforcement?
Being able to help out, making a little difference, even if it's in a small thing.
Is there like a story that stands out to you in the 5 years you've been with Bridgeport that you could share with us this morning?
Well, I think there are different cases. Nothing like major. I'm not a hero at all. What stands out to me and what brings at least happiness and joy to my life is the little things. Whether it be locating a stolen vehicle to an owner, that's a lot for them. That makes a difference. A vehicle is used as transportation. They have to use it every day. It's a need. I remember I was able to locate a missing person. The family were very happy. That made me happy. And there's, I remember 3 years ago during a snowstorm, I got a call of a missing dog. You know, I get it. It's just a dog. A couple hours later, I was able to find the dog and return it to the owner. The elderly lady in the home, she was so happy that she cried. So that to me, that is making a difference. It may not be big for everyone, but it's big for me.
And it is big for the person that you are able to reconnect them to people or to possessions, things that really matter to them. We're talking to Officer Lynette Castillo Jimenez this morning of the Bridgeport Police Department. Now, Officer Castillo Jimenez, you know, it's hard to sort of block the fact that we're living in pretty trying times right now. How do you encourage people to stay in law enforcement? How do you encourage yourself to stay in law enforcement?
I try not to think of or focus on all the negativity and the things that are going on, because there will always be something negative. But the positive always outweighs those negative things. We do more good than harm. So when I wake up every morning, I'm happy to have this opportunity to be able to do this job and to help others, to put someone else before me. So I encourage everyone, if you have in your heart to do good and help people, just put aside the negative and just go do it.
Why do you like serving the Bridgeport Police Department among maybe going to another department? What's special about Bridgeport?
I lived in Bridgeport for almost 20 years, and I got to know people, and here in the Bridgeport Department, where the area that I work, I was able to meet the community, business owners, and you know, we have a thing here in Bridgeport, is usually the same people that call the police all the time for different kind of issues. So you start to get to know people and their situations. So it's kind of like building a relationship. You become part of the community, and I think people appreciate that, and I appreciate that, and that's the best part of this.
Well, Officer Lynette Castillo Jimenez, I know you say that you're not a hero, but we so appreciate the work that you do every single day representing the Bridgeport Police Department and helping our community out. Thank you so much for taking the time to chat this morning.
Thank you for this opportunity.